My name is Chris Bloom, and today I'd like to talk to you about a field evaluation study we did at Iowa State of reduced growth, glyphosate-resistant Kentucky bluegrass in a non-competitive, non-mown setting. Over the past 10 to 15 years in the United States, we've seen an increase in acceptance of transgenic crops, particularly those that are resistant to herbicide, which make up the greatest percentage of all genetically modified organisms. Of those herbicide-resistant crops, glyphosate-resistant has been one of the most popular developments. Annual agricultural crops such as glyphosate-resistant corn and soybeans have been developed and have been made commercially available. Perennial crops such as creeping bentgrass, the glyphosate-resistant creeping bentgrass, has been developed, has undergone extensive research, and is currently waiting a deregulation process to be commercially available. Another perennial crop or grass that one of the next ones to be developed is Kentucky bluegrass, Poa pratensis. Along with the glyphosate-resistant characteristic, it is accompanied by a phenotype, a reduced growth phenotype. And a little bit about the glyphosate in the background of the development of the glyphosate resistance. Glyphosate is the active ingredient in Roundup, as many of you know, is a non-selective broad-spectrum herbicide which is toxic to plants, fungi, and bacteria. The glyphosate inhibits the activity of 5-enolpyruvyl shikimate 3-phosphate synthase, or EPSPS for short, in the plant. And the resistance is conferred from a agrobacterium species, CP4, that produces an EPSPS that has a reduced affinity to glyphosate. So once that gene is inserted, it has the ability to resist the inhibition from the glyphosate. Now, once we have this glyphosate-resistant characteristic in our plants, what this will allow is for the simplification of grassy and broadleaf weed control in our stands of Kentucky bluegrass. Now for the reduced growth. Reduced growth comes from the presence of a gibberellin, or GA2-oxidase gene. And the presence of GA2-oxidase in the plant catalyzes bioactive GAs into biologically inactive GAs, which ultimately renders a dwarf plant, a reduced growth dwarf plant. And what this will allow in our Kentucky bluegrass is a higher quality, denser turf, ultimately leading to a lower frequency of mowing as well. So it has a number of characteristics that would be very useful and looked for by a lot of turf managers. So now that we have this developed plant, this Kentucky bluegrass, reduced growth, glyphosate resistant, what our objectives are to identify what transgenic lines, if any, have gained any vegetative or reproductive advantage during the transformation process. Basically, a risk assessment. In our materials methods, what we started out with, we had 18 different Kentucky bluegrass entries. We had 4 transgenic lines, 3 tissue culture lines, and 11 reference cultivars. The 4 transgenic lines were designed to express the CP4 EPSPS enzyme, rendering it resistant to glyphosate, as well as the GA2-oxidase gene, which give it the reduced growth characteristic trait as well. The 3 tissue culture lines were developed from the same tissue culture materials as the transgenic lines. However, they were not transformed in any way, shape, or form at the beginning or during their development. And the 11 reference cultivars, these cultivars have the genetic background of many of the cultivars that are used in the turfgrass industry today. I should note that one of these cultivars is actually a Texas bluegrass, Poa arachnifera, and there's 3 other ones that are hybrids of the Texas bluegrass and the Kentucky bluegrass as well. So we established these the trial in 2003, in September of 2003, and we took data. Our data collection occurred over 2 years, 2004 and 2005. We had a randomized complete block design with four replications, giving us 72 individual entries. At no time, with the exception of during the establishment in 2003, was irrigation applied to the trial. All the water or all the irrigation that the trial received was from Mother Earth, from natural precipitation. In addition, we used pre-emergence and post-emergence herbicide very, very infrequently, and this was only to maintain the integrity of our plots. If you can see here in a space plant setting, space plant study such as this, we have a large amount of bare soil. And if any of you that have already done a space plant study like this, you know how difficult it is to control a lot of those the weeds in the bare soil, even with the application of a pre-emerge. Data collection. What I'm going to focus on today is basically the vegetative encroachment data that we collected. It should be noted that there were several other variables we used to quantify the study and that we collected, but due to the time constraints and the complexity of the study, I'm going to focus mainly on the vegetative encroachment. Now, the vegetative encroachment, this was done once every month during the growing season, starting in the spring of 2004 and going all the way through the growing season of 2005. And basically what this was is a measurement of the rhizome spread, how far does the rhizome spread in each one of the four square quadrant. And this illustration kind of help you visualize that. You can see here, we've put down a frame with four equally sized quadrants with the intersection at the middle of the plant. And then from there, we can measure out how far is it reaching out from this intersection. Where is the longest point of the rhizome spread? Excuse me. And we did this in each one of these quadrants, and then we took the mean of those measurements and then calculated and analyzed our data from there. So this figure illustrates the average rhizome expansion, as I mentioned previously, between some of the transgenic lines, the reference cultivars, tissue culture lines, and so on, over this two-year period. And as you see, the top figure here is from 2004, and what we have here, this is basically comparing all of the reference cultivars against all of the tissue culture lines and all of the transgenic lines. So as we look at this, if we look at our symbols, we can see that the reference cultivars are in our solid circles, and right below or right above some of those reference cultivars are our tissue culture lines. And then we see from the solid triangle our transgenics, we can see that those are much, much less aggressive and were different, statistically different at each data collection date, with the exception of the very first data collection date in 2004, which kind of makes sense. They were established in 2003 and hadn't had really that much time to grow. So we shouldn't be all that surprised that there really isn't that much difference there. In 2005, the trend continued. At each data point, we can see that while the reference cultivar and tissue culture lines did not differ statistically, the transgenic lines were significantly less exhibited significantly less growth. This particular slide, same type of setup, only in our legend here, our HB130. This is one of the hybrids I was talking about between the Kentucky bluegrass and the Texas bluegrass. And the next one with the open circle, the 02080S HB130, this is our tissue culture line developed from that hybrid. And then from there, as I mentioned earlier, as far as the process goes, the transgenic lines were developed from the same tissue culture materials. So these, the TX01, 2875, and 2862 were developed from the same tissue culture lines as the 0208S HB130. Only again, they did go through the transformation process. So if we look at this, our our reference cultivar in this case exhibited the most growth, and while some of these, the transgenic lines, were not different than a tissue culture line, we can safely say that with the exception, of course, of the first month, first data collection month, they were less aggressive than the reference cultivar in each at each date. And this trend, again, continued in 2005. It gets a little bit more pronounced as the time goes on. One more figure to illustrate this. One of our other transgenic lines, again, we had the HB130, the hybrid. This was another tissue culture line developed from that particular hybrid reference cultivar, 02128C HB130, a tissue culture line. And then our transgenic line, the TX01-2900. And once again, we can see that while the tissue culture line may not have been that much differently statistically than the transgenic lines, this is a common trend and theme we're seeing here. At each point, the reference cultivars were exhibited more growth, or you could say that the transgenic lines exhibited less growth than the reference cultivars. And once again, same trend, more pronounced, and same type of thing we're seeing here. An increase in the difference between the transgenic lines and the reference cultivars. So what we just looked at, and again, that's just a small piece of the data that we collected, as I mentioned. What we can say from this vegetative characteristic data is that the transgenic lines at no time, with the exception of the first date, were no more aggressive than the reference cultivar. Cultivars are tissue culture lines. So that's kind of what we were looking for. We wanted to make sure that these things, like I mentioned earlier, it's a risk assessment. We wanted to see, would these be safe to continue to study and so on. Now, some future research that could ultimately be conducted, we could do a similar study with an additional control for the GA2 oxidase gene alone. If you recall, the transgenic lines had both the glyphosate-resistant gene as well as the reduced growth gene, the GA2 oxidase. So if we were to maybe do another study, we could make a transgenic control, with only that one gene in each particular control. That way we could separate the effect of the two genes and really see what's giving us, if the GA2 oxidase really is reducing the growth that much, or if it's a combination of the two, the gene interaction, and so on. So that's something that could potentially be looked at. Something else, evaluate the recuperative potentials versus some of the other reference cultivars. Maybe include some more reference cultivars that are currently on the market, some Lomo Blues, maybe on some a golf course T-box, for example, measure that recuperative potential there. And then assess the benefits of mowing reduction. Are they the same quality as some of the other reference cultivars and commercially available cultivars that are currently available on the market? Thank you for your time and patience and coming out and listening to my presentation today.